Praise the Lord, saints. How many know that God is a God that'll take the pain away? Can I get a show of hands if you know that God will take the pain away? Glory to God. Sometimes he says that his grace is sufficient for you. But there are other times where he just comes in and his sweet spirit just comes and just takes the pain away. Glory to God. Worship with us as we sing.
I know
he'll take the pain away.
He'll take the pain away.
I know he will.
He'll take
the pain away. Hallelujah.
I know
he'll take the pain.
He'll take the pain away.
Glory.
Though you've been searching for a long time, searching for hope and some peace of mind, there's a friend who will step in on time. He'll take the pain away. He'll take the pain. Call on him. There's a blessing in the storm.
Yeah.
Help me sing.
to tell you about a lover named Jesus. He wants to meet your every need. Come on.
When I cannot seem to
love again.
Love again.
Praise the Lord. Oh, you need to turn to somebody by you and tell them, I've been through some storms, but I've seen God work. And now the storms don't bother me, because I know in the middle of the darkest, roughest, meanest storm, God's got a blessing hidden up in there. Hey, I want somebody that's in the middle of a storm right now. You need to just stand on your feet and say, you blow all you want, but I know there's a blessing in the middle of this storm. You rain all you want, but I know there's a blessing in the middle of this storm. Yeah. Praise God. We got time. If you just want to shout on your storm a little bit, go ahead. Hey, I tell you where Jesus is. He's asleep in the bottom of the boat. Storm doesn't trouble him at all.
Hey.
There's peace, sweet peace. There's peace in the middle of a storm.
Hey.
Praise God. Praise God. Isn't God good? Praise God. And everything that he does, it's just an adventure. Where we walk and the things that occur as we make our way through this journey. Everything's an adventure. You need to get on that side of the matter or you're going to have a lot of difficulty. This is the great adventure. Praise God. Praise God. The only thing that matters is when I get up in the morning, how do I size up in the kingdom of God? Praise God. Praise God. I believe that one day there's going to be a trumpet sound. In the middle of a work day, in the middle of a school day, in the middle, Jesus said, two will be working in the field. I don't care what happens in terms of tribulation and trouble and geopolitical pressure and war, somebody's still going to be working in the field. He said, two will be grinding at the mill. There'll still be somebody doing the everyday work of life. He said, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. They'll be eating and drinking, and yeah, people will be marrying and giving in marriage, and just like that first raindrop fell in the day of Noah, you're going to be walking right through the middle of an ordinary day, and the trump of God is going to sound, and the shout of God and the archangel and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up. My God, is anybody planning on getting caught up? The payoff doesn't come here. The happy ending doesn't happen here. God blesses, and living for God is good, but this is not what the story's about. The story's about what happens on the other side. Well, praise God. Thank God. Waking up in the morning knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is as good as it gets. Waking up in the morning knowing you got a promise on the other side is as good as it gets. Well, praise God. Don't let anything obscure your vision of that. Let that illuminate everything else. Let that define everything else. Praise God. Praise God. We're doing a study on the book of Proverbs, and we're making our way through last week, and this morning we're looking at life qualities as defined by the book of Proverbs, and we've already made our way through. So good to have the cars in the service tonight from South Carolina and formerly from Wisconsin. Wisconsin. We got more Wisconsinites in here. It takes a long time to get an Alabama accent into a Wisconsinite. It takes a long time. I don't know how long it takes to get an Alabama accent into a Russian. 2 weeks? Why don't you praise
him? Oh, praise God. I just thank God for everything that what he's doing in our lives. Thank God for being here, that there is a church here in Birmingham, that we can come to, and that our friends from Wisconsin, Tatiana, Dimitri, the guy over here, praise God, that they have a good church to be in, praise God. We appreciate that. We appreciate y'all. We appreciate your worship. And again, God is good. He's good to us. Hallelujah. You know, we're talking about, you know, if you got problems in your life, your home, or whatever. My wife and I just talked. We don't have that. And I thank God for that. It's because of God. You know, it's because of him working in our lives and not us doing our will, praise God, but we doing his will. And again, I thank you. And Brother Sutton, praise God, thank you too.
Well, appreciate you. Praise God. These are the folks that are responsible for Brother Dimitri and Sister Tatiana coming into the apostolic truth.
And we appreciate them so much tonight. And just good to have friends in the house. Praise God. Well, happy Labor Day to you. Hopefully you're off tomorrow. And we have a lot of folks on the road. Remember them. When you pray, pray safety and strength and health upon them. And let's delve into the word for a bit tonight. I'm not going to keep you long. We've been talking about wisdom in the book of Proverbs. That is the primary thing. And with all you're getting, you want to get wisdom and understanding. And as we process the book of Proverbs, we find out that by definition, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is defined by the book of Proverbs as departing from evil, hating evil. And so then it's not an abstract thing that you can't get your hands on, but it's a concrete reality that the Bible identifies sin and evil, and you, your job is to withdraw from it and to, as Job, eschew evil or walk widely around evil. That, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. And that knowledge comes by instruction. You don't just have that inherently, and you surely don't get it from this culture. So it takes instruction. So you have to have a heart that is open and receptive to instruction, or you'll never find wisdom and understanding as defined by the Word of God. Now, as we're moving into this, then now we're talking about life qualities that are the product of that wisdom and understanding moving in your life. And we talked this morning about peace and the fact that peace is a primary component of your experience in the kingdom of God. And if you're not experiencing peace in your life, it may be because you don't have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the kingdom of God in you, and the kingdom of God in you is righteousness and peace and joy, according to the Apostle Paul. Likewise, if you don't have peace in your life, it may be that you are, and I'm not talking about peace in the people around you. I'm talking about peace in you. Because you can't control the folks around you or the circumstances. But you can control the condition of your heart. Because the Bible says, and we studied it this morning and last Sunday, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So this thing swings on your will. You can keep your heart. Praise God. And in the midst of the storm, you can crawl up next to Jesus and go to sleep in the bottom of the boat. He wasn't worried about the storm. You say, well, that's impractical. No, that's biblical. And life will push you around until you come into that revelation knowledge. And circumstances will eat your joy for breakfast. And the people around you will steal your peace and beat you over the head with it. Until you get this revelation. Well, praise God. But when you get it, the people around you won't matter. Now, you're going to be stupid if you want to, but I'm loving God. I can't do anything about the circumstance, but I can do something about the way I respond to it. Praise God. So we're keeping our heart, and out of the heart comes life, the issues of life. And so the quality of my life has almost everything to do with my response and the condition of my heart. Oh, now I offer you John on the Isle of Patmos, and he's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I offer you Ezekiel, who's sitting by the captives by the river Chebar, and the heavens are opened, and he sees visions of God. These are exceptions to the normal behavior of humanity. But they've got something in their life that they won't set aside, even though they're in captivity or on a prison island destined to die. Praise God. Now, you may have a difficult circumstance, but I'll just set you up by Daniel and by Ezekiel and by John any day, and let's see how your condition stacks up. We've got to get a little bit harder, American church. We got to get a little bit harder, because I'll just tell you right now, your problems right now, some of your problems wouldn't be a problem if you lived in a third world country. And it's only the luxury and the plenty around you that gives you a gradient concerning the way that you view problems and difficulties. But there are little people in third world countries that would trade problems with you right now. And in about 10 minutes, you'd be ready to come back and get your problems back. I'm not diminishing your problems. I'm just telling you, you need perspective. You got to get things in perspective. And the most important component about your perspective is that God's in control. God is good. Promise of God is real. God says I can have peace, but peace is a product of the way that you think about your circumstance. And the Holy Ghost working in you. Now, we won't go back and revisit all of this in Philippians, but Paul talks about the peace that passes all understanding. And he talks about the God of peace. And I want you to right now lay your hand on your neighbor and look at him real seriously and tell him it's the will of God for you to have peace in your life. Praise God. Now, you can't have abiding peace that passes all understanding if you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. If you're fraternizing with sin, you can't have the peace of God moving in your life. Not unless you're just a sociopath and you're able to detach from all those things. All right, tonight we're going to talk about happiness, all right? Is there anybody in the house that's happy? Are you really? Do your friends know it? Does your family know it? Does your face know it? Calm down, Mr. Ding. Let's start with Proverbs 3 and 13. We're not going to stay long tonight. It's just one of those nights. 3 and 13. Would you say, happy is the man or woman that findeth wisdom, and the man or woman that getteth understanding. Now, you need to look at somebody and tell them, wisdom and understanding can make you happy. Now, isn't that wild? The Constitution or the Declaration promises you the pursuit of happiness. But the Bible says you can be happy. Well, my goodness. All right, you can be seated. And I can't qualify every situation. And I can't come by and personalize this for you in your particular hard case, hard situation, broken heart, desperate circumstance. But I can tell you that Jesus broke the bread and fed the multitude with the same loaf. And that this word is not specific to certain individuals that have certain life conditions. But it's for everybody. And it's true. Shut up, devil. Now listen to me. The devil's a liar. But the word of God, if you'll eat it, if you'll appropriate it, if you'll take part in it and participate and receive it, the word of God can plant the kingdom of God inside you. And the kingdom of God is peace and joy and righteousness. And happy is the man that findeth wisdom. I can't do this without thinking about Granny. Granny's mid-90s, she's walked all through life, and Granny had some rough experiences in her life. And she had some hard individuals that she had to deal with. But as she was dying, she said, "Charlie, get my joke book." And she was a cut up all the way down to the end. Well, you say, well, that's just not, she's out of touch with reality. No, she's creating her own reality. She's full of the Holy Ghost. Her sins are forgiven. She's going to live forever with God. This is a brief journey into whatever life is going to offer me. But I'm going to maintain my vision of the North Star in my life, which is the promise of God. God is unwavering. God knows those that belong to him. The seal, the foundation of God is sure. God never changes. His word never changes. I'm comfortable with that. I may have a little pain in my body right now, but joy is coming in the morning. I may have some trouble right now, but it won't last always. I may have a little weeping to do here, but joy is a primary component of the kingdom of God. Praise God. You can get hurt so bad you cry, but joy ought to characterize your life. And you can have your heart ripped out and you'll weep because you can't help it. When you go down and your loved one is sick and in trouble, and or you go down to the graveyard, you can't help what erupts out of you. Weeping is a normal and a natural part of the breaking, the shredding of a relationship, the saying of goodbye. Well, praise God. But weeping doesn't characterize the life of a child of God. I said weeping should not characterize the life of a child of God. There are more good days than bad days. I'd rather have a bad day in the kingdom of God than a good day out in the world. My God, I feel Holy Ghost talking to us here tonight. And so then joy is a primary component. Romans 14 and 17. Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And I'm not going to parse joy and happiness with you tonight. We're not going to do the semantic struggle with joy and happiness. They are synonymous as far as we're going to deal with it tonight. Okay, now if somebody wants to cross theological swords and go after that and spend an hour with that, you call me when you're done. Happy people have joy, and people with joy are happy. Praise God. So happiness then is a byproduct of wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Praise God. The wisdom of God, or the withdrawing from sin, is greater in impact and in pressure in your life than the negative things that surround you. Praise God. 15 and 13. Everyone say, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Remember when Cain sinned and offered up the wrong sacrifice, and the Bible said when God rebuked him, his countenance fell. And God asked him, why did your countenance fall? He said, why don't you do right? And he said, and why are you frowning all the time? You know? Now I want you to turn and I want you to light up like a big watt bulb and give your neighbor the biggest, prettiest smile you've got. You need to go home in the mirror and work on that little bit. Some of you look a little psychotic, but isn't that an improvement? You look 63% better when you're smiling. Experts say. Praise God. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart is the spirit broken. And there's a distinction here between the heart and the spirit. And if you continue with the depression, and if you continue with the negativity, and if you continue to chew on the bitterness, and if you continue to point out all that's wrong and all the fault and all the blame, and if you sit there and become a stew of all those things that have happened to you and the things that are not right, and you're not counting your blessings and you're not optimizing on the positive things, Paul said, if there be any good thing, think on these. But you're not doing that. You're thinking on the other things. You can literally break your spirit. You can sully your spirit to the place you may not be able to recover. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it the mouth speaks the abundance of the heart. But there's a connection there, that the heart receives what the mouth speaks. And as you continually are negative, it pours that bitterness and that poison into your heart. And it literally has an effect on your physiology. I don't know how many, you can study all night long about the impact of, the physical impact of depression, and the physical impact of anger, the physical impact of laughter and happiness. What it releases in your body, and how it changes your physiology, and how it creates good things in your system, and how cortisol and damaging things are at a lower level when you're laughing and when you're happy, and how stress makes those damaging levels and chemicals rise in your bloodstream. Praise God. And the Bible says it's not a function of your circumstance, and it's not a function of the boss, and it's not a function of the job, but it's a function of will. Of will. Because you can take two people in the same exact circumstance, and one is saying, I believe God. I just believe it's all going to be all right. I know it looks terrible right now, but I'm believing God. I'll walk right down to the grave telling you I believe God. And another person can walk through the same valley and sing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And you can't help me, and encouragement can't help me, and church can't help me, and God can't help me, because I made up my mind to be miserable. You can buy a Ford tractor and a big chain, and you won't pull that person out of the pit. Nobody can get you out of there but you. I mean, nobody. There, people can help you and people can minister to you, but it swings on the hinge of will. I believe I'm going to trust God. I believe I'm going to step over. I'm going to begin to enumerate the good things in my life. I'm going to begin to diminish and minimize the negatives in my life. I'll begin to speak. Now, this is not just, you know, my own crazy idea, but this is the word of God. 15:15, Jeremy. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. I read where he'll prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I read where, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to be afraid, because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Because he anoints my head with oil. Because in the middle of that valley, my cup runneth over. My God, I think Sister Bonnie was preaching about that last week. Praise God. But every day of the afflicted, and the affliction he's talking about here is the affliction of blindness to the goodness of God, the affliction of hardness so you can't feel what God is trying to do in your life, the affliction of negativity, condemnation, self-condemnation, and condemnation of others. And the Bible is talking about that type of spiritual affliction. But he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Praise God, always something good in the life of somebody that's happy. Praise God. Praise God. 16:20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. It's just in the way you handle it. Everybody handles the same stuff, but not everybody handles it the same way. And whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Praise God. Now that throws a big wrench at me. If I'm walking around in the mully grubs, it's just because I know you're sitting here in these Supreme Court judge robes, but you can smile about it a little bit. But if I'm continually unhappy, it just is because of one salient fact. I don't trust God. If I'm continually, perpetually miserable, it's just I don't trust God. And whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Now, I hope I'm not making you angry, because unhappy people get more so when you talk to them about it. 28 and 14. Everybody say, happy is the man or woman that fears always. But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Praise God. Happy is the man that feareth, and the fear he's talking about here is the fear of the Lord, which is the hatred of evil. But he that hardeneth his heart to instruction shall fall into mischief. So the scripture in the Proverbs teaches me that happiness is the continual state or the characteristic state of someone who is living for God. And the New Testament teaches me that joy is one of the three most prominent characteristics of an experience in the kingdom of God. It's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy. It's not fussing and cussing. It's not complaining and griping. It's not judging and condemning. But it's righteousness, peace, and joy. Praise God. Praise God. You would say, well, look, if I find myself on the wrong side of this, what do I do? Well, if you're on the wrong side of this, it's typically because you got to go back into the process and understand that you come into wisdom by instruction. You come into wisdom by hating, identifying, and withdrawing from things that are evil. Well, I'm not smoking and I'm not drinking and I'm not dancing with bow-legged ladies and I'm not chewing and I'm not cussing and I'm... Yeah, but if you harbor negativism, it's evil. You got to get a hatred for that. If you harbor hard attitudes toward other people, it's evil. Got to get that. You're not justified in your anger. Not before God. You're not justified in your offense. The Bible said if you love his word, that it's impossible to offend you. If you're sitting here offended tonight, it's just because you don't love his word. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said to me. All I know is what the word of God says. And God speaks from the throne of authority. And if you're offended, you need to get on the right side of the word of God. Praise God. See, this is not any fun if you're angry and offended and negative. You're going to be angrier and offended at me, and tomorrow be more negative than you are tonight. Praise God. You know that little children smile or laugh out loud 300 times a day? Guess how many times the average adult laughs during the course of a day? 17. I think apostolics laugh more. I hope apostolics laugh more. Jesus said, no, these are not the same experts that said you look 63% better. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like a little child, that you have to become childlike in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Okay. I want you to just shut out everything and everybody around you. And this is not Toronto, and this is not holy laughter. This is you. This is just you. I want you to shut out everything around you, and I want you to just laugh for a while. And see, some of you feel so stupid about this, you won't do it because you feel stupid. You feel like you're uncomfortable to do this because it assaults your masculinity. No, really laugh. Come on. We need old Jenny from Buongiorno over here. That's good. Sister Pam, you're good. She slipped over the edge. This is genuine laugh. That's what I want you to do now. Some of you are terrified of it. I want you to break into genuine belly laughter now. Do it. You're a hard crowd. Come on, Sister Charlotte. I know you can get into maniacal laughter. Come on, help us tonight. We need somebody that can laugh in this house. Oh, come on. I mean, if you need to get up and walk around to do it, time for it. Some kid said, "Why are you laughing?" I want to know the joke. No, but see, this is good for you. This is probably the best thing you've done all day. Do you know that you can actually have a lessening of pain in your body after you laugh for a while? Who's lost over here? Sister Karen? Lost? Sister Karen needs to laugh. She's got a diagnosis of cancer in her body. Yeah. She needs to laugh. And you need to laugh with her. Laugh about how dumb the devil's going to feel when he's locked up in hell and you're standing in heaven. Laugh about where the sin and the sickness is going to go when you're standing in your new body. I may be down right now, but I'm laughing at you. You know it breaks his heart when he knocks you flat of your tail and you look up at him and you just start laughing. Is that all you got? Is that your best shot? Is that all you have? Job said, "Bring it on." Job said, "Though he slay me." Job said, "It can't get bad enough to steal my praise. It can't get bad enough to steal my worship." Habakkuk said, "It can't get bad enough to steal my joy." Give me Habakkuk 3:17. I want everybody that's got problems, I mean significant problems in your life, you stand up. Now, for Habakkuk, this is as bad as it gets. The fig tree's busted. The washing machine's broken. The car's on the fritz. Sick in my body. The olive tree, the fields, the flocks, everything that these people did to generate food and to carry them through the winter was in jeopardy. But look at his response. 3:18. He said, "Yet." Everybody say, "Yet." No matter how bad it gets, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Rejoicing and joy are characteristic of an experiencing God, and they are synonymous with happy people. I want you right now to rejoice in the midst of your problem. Rejoice in the face of your enemy. Rejoice before that bad report that you've gotten. You can't steal my joy. You can't have my joy. God declares that I'm a winner. I can do all things through Christ. If God be for me, who can stand against me? All things work together for good to those that love the Lord and called according to his purpose. My God, we've got the victory. Do you have the victory? Praise God. Now this is not just experiential or emotional, but look at 3:19. This is functional. This is part of the process. And the Lord is my strength. He'll make my feet like hinds feet or like a mountain deer's sure-footedness in my high places. So then he'll give me dominion in high places. Why? Because you know how to bull your way through a day of trouble and still praise and worship God. You know how to press your way through a time of trial and tears and bodily weakness and still magnify and praise God. Praise God. Let me give you a little secret. The weaker you are, the greater your praise. The sicker you are, the greater your praise. The harder your circumstance, the greater your praise. I can praise God here tonight. And I might have a rating of whatever on the scale, on the praise-o-meter of God. But when Jimmy Green sits here this morning and says, God's been good to me, and I just want to praise God, he's off the chart. He's off the chart. Sister Karen, when you praise God, it's off the chart. Brother Culver, when you praise God, it's off the chart. Praise God. Praise God. He gives you dominion in high places. When you learn the lesson of joy, rejoicing, happiness in the middle of times of trouble. Praise God. Don't let backslidden kids steal your joy. You're their hope. Somebody needs to keep the fire burning. Somebody needs to keep the church on fire. Keep the light on. Keep the door open. My God. Don't let a failed marriage steal your joy. You say, Brother Sutton, you have no idea how that heartache tears at you in the middle of the night. I'm just telling you what I'm reading in the Word of God. You got to go get this. You got to stand up and get this. You can't sit down or lie down and capitulate. You can't be waving the white flag. You need to get a hold of that joy. Samuel anointed the first king of Israel. And Samuel loved Saul. And when Saul fell into rebellion, Samuel was the one that had to bring the word to Saul. Samuel was turning to leave, and Saul grabbed his coat. And as he turned, the coat tore. And the word from that old prophet to that king was, just like you've torn this garment, God has torn the kingdom away from you, and he's given it to a neighbor of yours who is a better man than you are. And he went up to his house, but he grieved and he mourned for Saul, because it was such a good plan and it was a new beginning. They were coming out of the era of repetitive failure in the judges, and it looked like the dawning of a new day, a new hope. Now it had come crashing down, and Samuel was sitting there. I don't know what was going on in his mind, but God came to the house. And God said, how? He didn't say hi. He didn't say how are you. He said, how long are you going to mourn and grieve for Saul? How long are you going to let that broken dream drag down your joy? How long are you going to let that failed dream drag down your victory? I know it's bad, but how long are you going to wallow in this grief? And Samuel didn't have an answer for that first question. And God said, get your horn of oil. Get that anointing oil. Get that Holy Ghost oil. Get it up. And he said, I want you to go down to Jesse's house, because I've got something for you to do. I'm telling you, you may have a broken dream and you may have a broken heart, but could I tell you, God's got a new day for you. God's got a new dream for you. God's got something for you that's going to make you forget about what you failed in and what's been done to you and how it hurts today. You got to get your horn of oil. He went down to Jesse's house, and they started a new day. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're near someone, lay your hand on them right now and just pray for them. The joy of the Lord break forth in their life. Let, you don't have a horn of oil, but you got the anointing oil tonight. Let it flow out of your vessel and on to them. Anoint them. Pray for them. Let their troubles, oh God, be buried under the anointing oil of God. Let their heartache, oh God, be forgotten under the anointing oil of God. Let their distress, oh God, be washed away by the anointing oil of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Almighty God. Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Jeremy, give me Nehemiah chapter 8. Are we laughing again? It's good. It's great. Don't know why you're laughing. I don't care. As long as you're laughing. Praise God. Nehemiah chapter 8 and beginning in verse 9. They've come back to the land. The people have asked for the reading of the word. And when they hear the word in verse 9, all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. But Nehemiah said, this day is holy. I don't want you mourning or weeping. I don't want you spoiling the promise of God. Praise God. In verse 10, then he said to them, I want you to go your way, and I want you to find something good. I know there's plenty to weep about. The temple's not as grand. The city is barely a reflection of what it used to be. But I want you to go your way, and I want you to eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. This is, if there ever has been a word for the church of the living God, this is a word for the church. Because you've got to find the good, and you've got to find the sweet, and you've got to make a way for it to be delivered to those that they just don't know about it, and they don't have it, and they can't derive it out of their world, but you can. He said, I don't want you weeping. I don't want you mourning. I want you to find the good. He's in league with Paul when he says, I want you to think on the good things. I want you to optimize the blessings of God. Praise God. At the end of that 10th verse, he touches the salient. He touches one of the most powerful passages in Revelation in the Word of God. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can't do this without joy. You can't live this, not in a durative sense, without joy. You won't be effective, and you won't last in the kingdom of God without finding the joy in the kingdom. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. You got to find the fat. You've got to eat the fat. Now, I'm not giving you an excuse to go crazy tonight after service and eat a banana split and a whole cake all by yourself. This is figurative. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise God. Praise God. Give us Philippians chapter 4. We're about done here. Psalms 118 declares to us that this is the day. Somebody say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Ask your neighbor, how can you know what kind of day it's going to be? I mean, how can you know if it's a day of rejoicing or not? And what is the obvious conclusion? It doesn't matter what kind of day it is. It's the day the Lord has made. My job is to rejoice. Now, rejoicing is something I do. But when he says, and be glad, that's incredible. Because he says that glad is a function of will. And that I make a decision to be glad or to be sad. My God. Okay, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Everyone say, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. I wonder if anybody in here has learned this. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul said, I've been abased and I've abounded, but wherever I am, I'm going to be content. That's a function of will. That's a function of knowing that God has everything in control to the degree that my experience in God overshadows all circumstances and everything that's happening in the world around me. He said, I know in 12, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know how to do all those things. I know how to be full and hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, typically when we use that scripture, we use it as a boilerplate for almost anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But specific to context, he's talking about your capacity to have a winning attitude and a joyful demeanor and to walk in the happiness of God in any type of circumstance. That's the specific context of this passage when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. Praise God. Good days, I'm content. Bad days, I'm content. Are you? Content means you're happy with God and what God's doing and you trust him. Praise God. Are you still happy? Well, we're going to stop. You know, there's a revelation in learning to value today, to measure today by its own unique beauty and value, and not letting the shadows of yesterday tarnish what God wants to do in my life today. I feel so bad for people that had a tragic and a terrible event in their life, or horrible background, or terrible experiences with parents or relatives or just life. Feel so bad for you that you went through that. But today is another day. It's a new day in the kingdom of God. You've got to stand up in the middle of this and lay hold of the promise of God. Praise God. Let's stand together. Praise God. Why don't we all come down around the altar? Praise God. God. As you come, just I want you to begin to thank God for all the good things in your life. I want you to begin to praise God for all the good things in your life. Hallelujah. Come on, begin to count your blessings. Don't let the shadow of the negative overshadow what God has done and is doing and has promised. Come on now, I want you to begin to praise him for it. Just begin to praise him for it. Somebody may want to begin to just laugh in the face of your enemy. right now. I want you to turn to somebody by you, and I want you to tell them about your problem. Don't give them details, but just tell them, I got some significant problems in my life, if it's true. And I want you to agree with one another that you're going to walk in victory, that you're going to walk in joy, that you're not going to let the shadows of the negatives overshadow the joy and the victory of God. And I want you to begin to pray for one another. Come on. Pray for your brother. Pray for your sister. Praise God. I want you to throw up your hands and just begin to talk in tongues. I want you to begin to pray a dominion prayer in the Holy Ghost. Right now, begin to pray with authority in the Holy Ghost. He's given you power over every circumstance. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He's given you dominion over every spirit. At the name of Jesus, every knee's got to bow. Every tongue's got to confess. He's given you the Holy Ghost of God, and you can do all things. Yeah, yeah. Somebody press in through that. Mighty God. Mighty God. I want somebody just begin to shout about it right now. Just begin to shout victory. Shout victory over your problem. Shout victory over your heartache. Shout victory over the negative. And again. Praise God. Clap your hands unto Him and shout to God with a voice of triumph.